Welcome to Karen Orr's official podcast. We're a Messianic synagogue in Savannah, Georgia. You can find us on the web at www.shalomsavannah.com.
Having a repentant heart and coming before the Lord, and that's very traditional to talk about in Rosh Hashanah. And today we're going to talk about another central theme or themes in Rosh Hashanah. And you know, it's weaved throughout all the liturgy. It's really amazing how God puts everything together. There's a lot of symbolism in Judaism. There's a lot of different things we can learn from it. Today, we're going to be talking about this concept of regathering, of the people regathering, and of us regathering, and renewal. So before we can regather and have renewal in our lives, we need to have a repentant heart. We talked about that, as I said last night. And today, it's about regathering and renewal. So Rosh Hashanah, I mentioned this last night. It's not in the scriptures. There is no mention of the words Rosh Hashanah. You're not going to find it in there. What you are going to find is you're going to find something that says Feast of Trumpets or Yom Teruah, which Hebrew, that's Hebrew, and the translation is the Feast of Trumpets or the Feast of, or the Day, I should say, of Trumpets, or the Day of Blowing the Shofar. The Shofar is the ram's horn, and we're going to blow it later today, just as we did last night. So it's actually called Yom Teruah, the holiday. And it's very significant, the shofar. We talked last night about the 12 reasons we blow the shofar. There's many reasons to gather the people, to gather our hearts, to get ready. We went through all of them. But when the people of Israel needed to assemble for a special occasion, the shofar sounded. It wasn't just a run-of-the-mill day in Israel, right? You're working on the fields and, oh, there's the shofar, it's time for work. That wasn't how it works. It was a special thing that happened. It happened on a new moon celebration. It happened in a special feast of the Lord or a holiday. It was designating something out of the ordinary, something different, a special occasion. The shofar sounded historically throughout the scriptures, and we're going to go into some scriptures today to give some context of why and when the shofar would blast. And that can tell us how special it was. It sounded when the people were in the wilderness, when they were in the wilderness of Egypt. When they were in the wilderness and they came out, they went to the foot of Mount Moriah. They went to go receive the Ten Commandments. And at that point, when they were assembled, when they received the Ten Commandments, a pivotal day in Judaism. In Jewish tradition, this is the day that really the religion of Judaism began. If you read the commentaries, if you read the rabbis, this is what the day of the birthday of Judaism, so to speak. And that's when the children of Israel were all assembled in the wilderness at Mount Moriah to receive the tablets from Moses, from God. And let's read about it. If you put on the screen, Exodus 19:13, the second part of the verse tells us. And every time you see the word trumpet, it means shofar. It means ram's horn. There was really no trumpets like we know trumpets today. You know, when I was in high school and college, I played the trumpet in the band. And that's a pretty cool instrument, but they didn't have those back then. They had the ram's horn. They had horns of rams that they would blow, and that would be their trumpet. So whenever you see trumpet, just in your mind, insert shofar or ram's horn. Exodus 19:13. When the trumpet sounded, when the shofar sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. And that, as we know, is right before Exodus 20. Exodus 20 is when there was the receiving of the Ten Commandments from God. When the people of Israel needed to assemble for battle, the shofar sounded. The shofar blast was a wake-up call, kind of an alarm, to say, hey, it's time to go to war. It's time to go to battle. It's time to fight for our God. There's an instance in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to read the first five verses. This is a time when Joshua, after Moses died, after the Torah is completed, you know, they're going into the promised land finally. They're going into the land of Canaan, Israel. It's a pivotal moment. And they get in the middle of getting there. Of course, they got to pass through the city called Jericho. Jericho was a huge walled, fortified city with very fierce-looking people, warriors. And they came up to Jericho. And here's where it picks up, Joshua 6, 1 through 5. This is what God tells them to do. Now, Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus shall you do it for 6 days. So each day, they're going to go around the city one time. Verse 4. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets, or the shofar. Verse 5. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, of the shofar, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. Can you imagine the scene? There was no weapons, right? They didn't have Uzis. They didn't have any of these crazy machineries and semi-automatic weapons and, you know, things that can blast through walls. What they had is they had the Lord on their side, and they had the shofar, right? And they had the priests. And God tells them to do something that's totally inconceivable in our mind. Like, how are you going to win a war marching around and blowing a horn? But they did it. They did exactly what God said. They had faith. And because of their faithfulness, because they went forward and they did it, time and again we see this in the scriptures. When they stepped forward and did it, God supernaturally brought the walls of Jericho down, and they went in and they took the city. It's amazing. And all throughout that scripture, you see the shofar blast. The shofar was used when Gideon, remember Gideon, one of the judges, and his men defeated Midian, the great Midian. Remember the hordes of Gideon, of Midian's armies, very numerous. Gideon comes in with thousands of men, 33,000. God says no, whittles it down to the point where there's like hundreds, a couple of hundred men, a few hundred men. And what did they have? They didn't have weapons. They were totally outnumbered. And this is what God said, Judges 7, 19 through 20. So Gideon and the hundred men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. And when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches, and in their right hands the trumpets, the shofars, to blow. And they cried out, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Amazing. God did not use weapons. God used the weapon of him, his word. He used the shofar blast, and he used them smashing basically lanterns or lights. It's just amazing how outnumbered with no weapons, God can win battles. And again, it brings to mind to me, if you've ever read those books from Israel, when in Israel, when they fought through all their wars, the Six-Day War, the Day of Atonement War, the Yom Kippur War, they were grossly outnumbered. All the Arab countries circled them, right? All the Arab countries, several Arab countries, got together and they said, "We're going to go to war with Israel," time and again through the last 60 years. And there's really stories, if you read the books, of the tanks coming and the Arabs coming and this horde of Arabs just coming, Muslims coming to attack Israel and destroy Israel. That was the purpose of the war. They wanted to destroy Israel. Israel had a ragtag group. My wife's family lives in Israel, and we went over there, and they had, in the Revolutionary War in the 40s, they literally didn't have money for uniforms. They had put these uniforms together. I remember one of her, I think his great uncle, came from Italy, Italian Jew, and Moshe, and was it Moshe Polacco? Anyway, Moshe came, and he didn't look the part at all. He had the uniform that didn't match. I mean, these guys did not have any real weapons. You had women fighting with men. I mean, it was just like anything they could do to fight against these Arabs. And they couldn't win. They were totally outnumbered. And if you read the books, what the Arabs saw when they came upon them was literally tanks and huge armies of Israelis coming to them, and they ran in fear. They ran in fear away. God supernaturally showed and put a veil over them to see a great army coming against them. That's supernatural. That is something like what happens here. They had a shofar or shofars. They didn't have weapons. They were outnumbered. And God uses this. And God's using his shofar in this process to defeat the enemy. So again, the shofar is tied with battle and about battling for the Lord. But the shofar is also about celebration and proclaiming the Lord too, proclaiming his kingship. There is a wonderful scene and many of you will remember it, where the Ark of the Covenant is finally brought to Jerusalem after so many years. And David, King David, brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and everybody's going crazy, and they're celebrating, and David is in front of the Ark, and he's like dancing like crazy. And 1 Chronicles 13:8. Let's go there right now. 1 Chronicles 13:8 talks about, it chronicles this. And David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with song and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets. Shofar's there. Celebration times, the shofar is there. A central thing for Israel at major celebrations. So let's read again Leviticus 23:23-25. This is the scripture that talks in the scripture in the Bible about Yom Teruah, or Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blasts of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. Rosh Hashanah was to be a holy day, separated by God, marked by the blowing of the shofar as a distinction. When the shofar sounded, Israel would regather. No matter what was going on in their lives, no matter what was happening with the harvest and the livestock, no matter what was going on with their enemies, when that shofar sounded, the people would gather, the people would assemble for whatever, for battle, for celebration, what have you. They would stop their normal routines, and they would take stock of their spiritual condition, as we talked about last night. They would check their hearts to make sure they have a repentant heart as they entered into Rosh Hashanah, as the shofar would blast. And as they regathered, God would renew them. So the sounding of the shofar is also said to hail a king, to bring a king. Much of Rosh Hashanah liturgy that we read talks about God as our king, right? We have Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king, is the translation there. We said that and sang it. We have Melech Ozer, which we sang last night. That is literally translated as King Redeemer. We have liturgy like the Lord is King that we chanted last night and we'll do again tonight, today, this morning. Throughout, there's a common theme of kingship, of sounding the shofar and hailing our king, Yeshua, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As we assemble, we take stock of our spiritual condition. We fix our eyes on our King of Kings, Yeshua the Messiah. And when we look to our Savior, when we look to Yeshua, our Messiah, we are renewed. We are changed. We are different than when we came. We've prepared our hearts. We've assembled. And now God is working in our lives. And renewal, this theme of Rosh Hashanah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. If we've accepted Yeshua as our Messiah, we are renewed. We have been set free. Yeshua came proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is hand. We repented, we got our hearts ready. Of our past sins, we've repented, and we've looked towards our Messiah, and he has saved us. Yeshua, our Messiah. And the Bible says, if we're in Messiah, we are a new creation. All the old has passed away, the new has come. We are now renewed. We are a new creation in Yeshua. When Yeshua died on the cross, he conquered death. He took all of our sins. He took all of our old stuff that was in us, our old nature. He has washed us clean. And now we are a complete new creation. Our King has made us new. And there's something else, too. Because Yeshua came one time as our suffering servant, right? In Isaiah 53. And in rabbinic tradition and writings, there's a concept of almost two messiahs. There's Messiah ben Yosef, Messiah ben David. Messiah ben Yosef, or the Messiah son of Joseph, is the suffering servant, the Isaiah 53 servant, who dies for the sins of the world, and we're renewed in him. But there's another picture of our Messiah, and that's Messiah ben David, Messiah son of David, David being King David, the mighty warrior. And when he comes again, when he comes anew, a second time, he's going to come as Messiah son of David, as our conquering king. And that's what we're proclaiming today. And when that happens, it's going to be amazing. Let's read 1 Corinthians 4:16-17. The New Covenant talks a bit about this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Messiah will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Matthew 24:31. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So this is very significant, these two scriptures, because in both scriptures, what signifies the coming back of Messiah? It is the shofar. It is the shofar blast. Not only are we regathered and are we changed by Yeshua inside, but when he comes back, we're going to be changed on the outside too, aren't we? We're going to be changed. We're going to be a new creation physically too, ruling and reigning with Yeshua. And that is going to be marked by a shofar blast. So that's how significant the shofar blast is today. And it's so intricately tied with renewal. So as we come before the Lord, as we regather today, as we come together for Rosh Hashanah, let's remember these concepts. Let's remember, as we hear the shofar blast, that not only have we been redeemed and renewed, but we're going to be renewed again when he comes back to take us home to heaven with him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you, our King, our Father, and our King. Lord, you are so awesome. You are so awesome in praise, and we just give you praise and honor and glory. And when we blow the shofar before you, Lord God, we're remembering all those things that you did in the scriptures. We're remembering when King David danced with all his might before the Ark of the Covenant as he brought it to Jerusalem, because he was so in love with you, Lord God. We remember when Gideon and his men fought against a heavily armed, and they were totally outnumbered, Lord. We remember about Gideon and how he conquered. We remember Joshua and the children of Israel as they conquered Jericho through your might, Lord God, with the shofar blast. And as we blow that shofar, let it quicken our spirits. Let it just help us to remember that you're coming again for us one day. And we can take our rest. We can take that joy in knowing that you will return for us, Lord God, one day. We thank you, God, for this Rosh Hashanah, this day, this solemn day, where we can take our rest in you, Yeshua, our true Prince of Peace, who gives us peace in our hearts. We thank you so much, God. Be with us the rest of the service, Father. Be with us today when we go down to the river and do Tashlich, Lord God, and be with us throughout the rest of this week before we come back again for our Shabbat on Saturday morning. We thank you and praise you, God. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.